Coming up on this episode of Disneyland Weekly, Disneyland announces new ambassadors, more annual pass updates.
Food prices increased, refurbishment updates, holiday overlays, and more. Disneyland Weekly starts now.
This is Disneyland Weekly.
Hello and welcome to this episode of Disneyland Weekly for the week of October 10th, 2018. I'm Tig Bushman.
And I'm Teresa Urban. We would like to send a shout out to Connie for supporting the show at the general admission level, Kate, Stephen, I, and Brianna for joining at the Park Hopper level, and Stephen S. for becoming a lead on Patreon. They get some pretty nice perks like access to the supporter Discord chat, some nice DL weekly swag, plus more. As a reminder, we are sending out a special charter supporter item to the first 50 supporters of the show. If you are one of the first 50 before the end of October at the Park Hopper level or above, you will receive this special perk. This is a limited item, so head on over to DisneylandWeekly.com/support if you would like to support the show.
Well, drum roll, please, because we just reached our next goal on Patreon. Teresa and I will be adding a music channel to our Patreon supporter chat. We've actually already kind of started doing some of the groundwork for it, and some people have been in there testing. Thank you for all of our patrons for your continued support. We're just $70 away from our next goal, a monthly drawing, where we will choose a patron to receive some DL Weekly swag from our store. To find out more about this and other new milestones, head on over to DisneylandWeekly.com/support.
Well, speaking of swag, if you would like to celebrate Halloween in style, head on over to DisneylandWeekly.com/store to check out our Halloween time logo wear. This is a limited time only style that will be leaving the store soon. Order yours today before they crawl away.
Well, I don't know if you heard, but we have finished booking our accommodations for the D23 Expo next year.
Woohoo!
And our week at Disneyland right after. James over at Concierge was able to get us a great deal on our rooms at the Howard Johnson right across the street from Disneyland. He was even able to get us a theme park view. If you want to get a similar great experience, head on over to the official travel planners of Disneyland Weekly at concierge.com.
Now let's get to the news.
When the crypt doors creak and the tombstones quake, spooks come out for a swinging wake. Happy haunts materialize and begin to vocalize. Ring, grinning ghosts come out to socialize.
As the moon climbs high over the dead oak tree,
spooks arrive for a midnight spree.
Creepy creeps with eerie eyes
start to shriek and harmonize.
Ring, grinning ghosts come out to socialize.
Now don't close your eyes and don't try to hide,
for a silly spook will sit by your side, shrouded in a daft disguise. They pretend to terrorize.
Grim grinning ghosts come out to socialize.
When you hear the knell of a requiem bell,
weird ghosts scream where spirits dwell.
Restless bones etherealize,
rise as spooks of every size.
Grim grinning ghosts come out to socialize.
Grim grinning ghosts come out to socialize.
Well, first off this week, we have some exciting news for Eli Beller, who is turning 9 this year. Happy birthday, Eli. For your birthday, your parents have booked a trip to Disneyland on October 23rd. You will also be attending Mickey's Halloween party. We're sure that you and Lillian will have a great time.
What an amazing and exciting 9th birthday this little guy is going to have. I know I'm jealous.
I am jealous as well. And it's nice that your sister gets to kind of tag along and partake in your celebration.
That was very nice of you.
Yes. So have fun, and thanks for being listeners, and I hope you have a great time. Make sure you take lots of pictures and let us know
Yes. So
we can post some of that.
Please send us some of your photos. We'd love to see them.
Absolutely.
Well, Disneyland has appointed its ambassadors for the 2019-2020 year. Justin Rapp, who started as a Jungle Cruise skipper in 2012, and Rafa, who has worked in Tomorrowland for the last 2.5 years, were chosen to represent the resort. A cavalcade on Main Street celebrated their appointment to the role. The ambassador program was started back in 1965 by Walt Disney himself.
It's really great to see that they are continuing this long-standing tradition for the resort of having these ambassadors. It's interesting that they have two ambassadors, because when it started, I believe there was only the one ambassador. But now there's two ambassadors. And it's cool that, 2012 and just a couple years ago, like, you don't have to be a cast member for, like, a long time. Mm-hmm. You just have to kind of embody, I think, the resort and kind of what Walt Disney kind of wanted for it. So, congratulations to both of them. I didn't watch the cavalcade online. I know there's a video out there somewhere, but I saw lots of pictures. It would have been cool to see in person.
Mm-hmm. All right, so some of you might be wondering what a Disney ambassador does. And so basically what they do is they get to represent the 30,000 cast members. And some of the things that they get to do is they basically are kind of like media representatives. They're official hosts to some of the resort guests. And they're also just the emissaries of goodwill. They get to do some cool things, like they get to make monthly visits to the Children's Hospital of Orange County with some of their favorite Disney characters. So it's really cool. They basically just kind of get to be the official faces and people for the cast members. I think that's great.
I agree. Well, for those of you with the Southern California Select Annual Pass, the blockout dates for the 2019 summer season will end on September 3rd. Without buying a separate ticket, this will be your first chance that you will have to experience Star Wars Galaxy's Edge.
If you've been in the parks recently, you may have noticed a slight change in prices at some of your favorite Disney restaurants. Prices started creeping up at the resort after a pretty substantial price increase was noticed at Walt Disney World food and beverage location. For an example, a regular soda, which was $3.59, is now going to set you back about $3.99. So not a huge change, but it's definitely noticeable and it will add up during your stay for sure. So it'll be interesting to see if this is where it's going to stop, if they're just going to make this one increase or if they're going to kind of continue to creep it up or not.
You know, everything is getting more and more expensive, and, you know, it's just a matter of time before things gone up. Honestly, certain things like soda, it's kind of hard, especially if it's like a fountain soda, for me to want to pay extra for that, because having a background, when I worked at the movie theater, I knew how much a soda costs, a fountain soda costs, right?
Yeah.
And so seeing them charge this amount for something like a soda, it seems outrageous to me. Another thing that people don't realize, and I think we've talked about it way back on the podcast, was because Coca-Cola sponsors Disneyland, they actually get all the syrup and stuff at no charge. So it's basically the whole profit for them. So really the only reason they're adding additional, you know, fees onto food or, you know, increasing the prices is to make more money, which is unfortunate, I guess. But, you know, they're paying their cast members and stuff better, so I guess that money's got to come from somewhere, so I guess good for them. Well, after 12 years of training Jedi, the Training Academy in Tomorrowland is ending on November 3rd. If you want to experience this one last time, you need to have your child present when you register, which you could do as soon as the park opens outside the Star Wars launch bay at a kiosk there. It's kind of sad. I mean, the kids seem to really enjoy this when I saw it.
It is. And, you know, unfortunately, I feel like we kind of knew that this was coming, especially with Galaxy's Edge coming so soon. I really hope, I mean, there's no word, this is just me hoping. I really hope that they do bring this back once Star Wars Galaxy's Edge opens and that you can still train to become a Jedi when you're actually in that immersive world. So fingers crossed that it's only going away temporarily. But, you know, it is interesting to me because this is, I feel like there's a shift in the wind of what's going to happen with Tomorrowland. And it really now makes me question things like Star Tours. Is Star Tours still going to be around if they're going to take away the Jedi Training Academy? Are they going to take all of the Star Wars influences out of Tomorrowland? And are we hopefully maybe going to see a renovation of the Tomorrowland area? One can hope.
Yeah, I've seen a lot of rumors online. Nothing's been confirmed, so we haven't really talked too much about it on the podcast. But as soon as we know something, we'll pass it along to you guys. But I agree with you, Therese. I think it's definitely some winds of change happening with Tomorrowland. In fact, somebody in our chat today said that they thought that the Tomorrowland refurbishment is coming sooner than they expected. So I'm not sure where she got that piece of information, but I'm open to it.
I think that's hopeful. I think she's hopeful like we are.
Well, that's true. Everybody should be hopeful.
Well, the icy peaks of Matterhorn Mountain should be returning from refurbishment on November 16th, barring any unforeseen circumstances. There were some rumors of a new covered portion of the queue being added, but it appears that it will just be extended out from the existing covered queue and shade will be provided by trees. The refurbishment also added additional queue space for FastPass and improved standby.
Yeah, so I was really excited because I saw some stuff online that said that this was going to be like a covered like walkway and it was going to like, you know, because shade is needed. Shade's important. So I'm thinking like, oh, it's going to make all these big changes. But this week there's been some photos and video released that shows that like there are trees where they thought these supports were going to go. So it just looks like they are adding more shade to this area, which is great. And they're making it so it kind of works better with FastPass. So I don't think this is a bad thing either. Again, I think it goes along with more of the things that have been going on, which is, you know, dealing with crowd congestion and, you know, crowd flow and everything. So,
you know, me personally, I'm glad that instead of just getting another building or an awning or something like that, that they are putting some green back into the park, because we have been getting rid of a lot of green recently. Mm-hmm. We've talked in great depth about all of our poor planters that have gone by the wayside and all the different, you know, just all the different garden and flower areas that have, you know, they've unfortunately have moved on.
Your planter with the relationship is never coming back, Teresa.
I know. So it is nice that they're getting more green in there, because that's really one of the things that just really makes Disneyland Disneyland, is the fact that it isn't all just concrete and structures. They mm-hmm. do have plants and wildlife, and they have the ducks there, for goodness sake. You yeah. don't see ducks when you go visit Universal.
That's true. So I will say something that we didn't put in the news, but you jogged my memory on in talking about this kind of stuff. So the Tiki Room did finally open this week. Woo-hoo. We didn't talk about it, but in the news this week, but it did finally open. And where the handicap ramp, there was actually some foliage and stuff there for the queue area, and that is gone now.
See? I'm telling you, bring back the green.
So I'm hoping that, especially with the coming tropical hideaway, I'm hoping that they add some green stuff there. Because yes. I know we had talked about this previously, where if anywhere needs foliage for the theme, it's Adventureland.
Definitely.
Well, the World of Disney store has unveiled its new sign in Downtown Disney. The new sign looks rather plain compared to the previous sign. The middle section of the store remains closed until the expected reopening date of October 19th. Have you seen pictures of this, renovation inside?
I have, yeah. And I haven't decided quite how I feel about it, because I did really like the very whimsical look that this store had. Mm-hmm. And now it's kind of, I think we're supposed to believe that it's an old bus building, an old bus
Depot, yeah.
And so it is a little bit more, I don't know, industrial looking, I guess would be a good way of saying it. So it's lots of exposed brick, exposed beams, that sort of thing. So I do hope that they aren't finished yet. So I know that we can't completely say this is what it's going to look like. I do hope that they get more character elements in there. I did really like the figures that they had. But
did you not see the giant Dole Whip thing that was on part of one of their displays?
There is a giant Dole Whip, but that's not a character.
That's true.
Now, I do appreciate that, though.
There was a video I saw today that I thought was a wonderful addition to this. So they have a picture on the wall of the castle, and it's actually animated where it looks like daytime, and the sun goes down, and then the fireworks come out, and then it goes dark, and then just looks like nighttime, and then the sun comes back up.
That is very nice. And there are some really cool touches that they've included, too. If you go up to the registers and look down at the countertop, instead of just seeing, you know, like a marble or a linoleum or a wooden countertop, they actually have character sketches on the counters. I thought that was a really cool touch.
Yeah. So I guess my overall opinion is, I think it looks nice and clean, and it looks very modern. I'm not sure. I do miss the whimsical, I think, is what my biggest... And I think that's what everybody's biggest holdup about this is that you're losing a lot of that whimsy that comes with it, with the characters and everything. So hopefully they'll add a little bit and balance it. But I'm also hoping that it's easier to navigate in there, because every time I went into World of Disney... Now, World of Disney is huge.
Yeah.
And it has tons of merchandise. But my problem was, sometimes I couldn't find things, or I didn't know where I was going. Sometimes, when you're in there with multiple people and you get kind of separated from your party, it's hard to find where they are because there's just giant walls and stuff everywhere. So hopefully this will all fix that. So we'll have to wait and see. October 19th, just around the corner.
Salt and Straw in Downtown Disney should be opening any moment if it hasn't already. The ice cream was delivered on Monday to the location, and the exterior looks complete and ready to serve guests. So this has been kind of, you know, a very, I feel, we've been talking about it a while. It's been a long time coming. So we're nearly there, if not already there. As of when we're recording this, it officially was not open, but that could change. So
yeah, now we just got to wait for Black Tap.
Yep.
Because that's still under thing. But I saw the pictures outside of Salt and Straw. Did you look at the picture that's linked? We have the link in the show notes for this. But it the outside of this actually looks super cool. Doesn't that look super cool?
It looks really neat.
Click on the right picture there and look at the... Isn't that neat?
I like it.
Yeah.
I like a lot. They had a lot of really interesting, I don't know, extras or additives or whatever you want to call it. A little flair, I guess, would be a good way of saying it. Because even if you look at they don't have just normal door handles here. They're these big wooden, they almost look like an upside down ice cream cone. I'm not exactly sure what it's supposed to be, but they're just cool.
Yeah.
Very good theming.
One thing that I always kind of felt kind of blah about with Downtown Disney was that visually it was just everything kind of looked the same. This is kind of starting to add some unique elements that I think it was needed and is really nice there. So, well, I'm excited to see what the inside looks like once it finally opens, and hopefully it opens later this week.
From what the little peaks that you can see from photos that are online, like Tag said, we will have these linked. It looks really clean and classic, and just, it looks good. I think it looks really nice. I like the colors that I can see in there. I like the signage. Mm-hmm. I like it.
Yeah, I like it too. Well, now it's that time again to take a trip to Trivia Land, where producer James tries to stump us with Disney trivia. James will read us the question, we'll attempt to answer them, and then James will give us the answers after the discussion topic. What do you have for us this week, James?
Well, I'm going to be playing really nice with my first question.
Oh, thank God.
So I'll give you at least one this week, but we'll see how you do with the rest of them.
Okay.
So, first question. Disneyland has a unique way of keeping rodents out of the park.
Oh, yes.
What is it?
Cats.
Kitty cats.
Like stray cats, yeah.
Yes.
All right, question number two. When former President Harry S. Truman visited, there was a little bit of hearsay that there was one attraction that he refused to ride. Which ride would he not get on?
I'm going to go with the teacups. What year was Harry Truman president?
He was the 30s. The 40s.
So it was after he was president that he came to Disneyland?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, because he was president for most of World War II.
Okay.
Do we know what year he visited?
He visited in 1957.
57.
Oh, so that was early. 57. Harry S. Truman. Yeah, I'm going to stick with the teacups. Because those were there. Because back then you had...
I'm going to say Mr. Toad's Wild Ride.
Okay, Mr. Toad.
Trivia, very serious thoughts.
It is.
For the longest time, cast members were not allowed to have mustaches.
Oh, yes.
What year could they finally start donning the facial hair?
It was in the 2000s,
it was.
I
was
going to
say, I feel like it was recent.
I would say, can we say like
actually,
a decade?
Actually, you know what? I'm gonna call out the book that I have been working on, because I actually was just reading something about it. So it happened sometime in the 90s, because it was referenced in Cleaning the Kingdom that one of the cast members there had a mustache and looked very much like Walt himself. But
see, I think it was the early 2000s. Can I just give you a vague area?
Nope, I'm asking for a year.
2003.
I'm going to say 99.
Okay.
All right, and your last one. It's a bit of another urban legend, but apparently Michael Eisner made a cameo in one of the scenes for Soarin'. Which scene was he a part of?
Oh,
the ending
golf
scene. Oh, the golf
playing
scene.
Golf.
Good one. Yeah, I was going to say the ending scene because I know a lot of the cast members were actually in the scene where they're flying over Disneyland at
oh,
night.
Oh yeah, yeah. No, the golf scene, because that seems very CEO-ish.
There you go.
Some sound logic. We'll find out if it's true after the discussion.
All right. So we have a couple things to talk about before we get to today's discussion. So we have told you guys for weeks now that if you want to be part of the show and determine what we talk about, to go to DisneylandWeekly.com and click on vote on the discussion topic. There are two that were at the top of the list that we are skipping this week, and we're going to explain why. So the first one was attractions you just won't go on. Teresa, why are we not doing that?
So basically, Tag and I were talking about the discussion topic yesterday. We had this really long work thing that we were stuck on a bus with each other for 6 hours for. So we had a lot of time to talk podcasts. But anyways, so he said, okay, well, it looks like this one is the next one up because it was the highest rated on our survey, and it was the address attractions that we just won't go on. And I said, I don't know about that. And he kind of gave me this weird look. I said, well, Tag, there isn't an attraction that I won't go on. Is there one that you won't go on? So we kind of had an epiphany that we don't really have much to discuss on that, because Tag and I are all for all of the attractions. And
it's true.
I mean, I guess there's some attractions that I won't go, like, won't take the time to go on multiple times.
Mm, yep.
But there aren't ones that I just 100% avoid.
Yeah, I agree with Therese on this one that, you know, it's been on our list for a while. And actually, I probably shouldn't have even put it on the list. I probably should have just not had it on the list in the beginning. But basically, yeah, like exactly what Teresa said, there's really nothing I won't go on. In fact, I kind of pride myself in a 5-day trip trying to hit everything, because what I do is I take a guide map on the first day and I just start crossing off things we've done, and at the end of the first day I circle the stuff that I want to do like in the future, like must-dos that we didn't hit. And then once we get through all those, then I try to hit all the other things, in addition to seeing some things that I really enjoy multiple times. So Teresa has not experienced this with me yet, but we will when we go for D23. So, but yeah, there's nothing I won't go on. So the next topic was Hidden Mickeys. And so this one we are going to do. We're not going to do it tonight, but we are going to do it. It's very visual, so it's not really something that's good for a podcast. So what we've decided that we're going to do is we will record some episodes, and we'll do it just like the tour around the parks, and we'll record one or two lands at a time, and we'll have pictures and everything of where these things are, and we'll talk about them, and if there's a cute story behind them or whatever, we'll have all of that like we did with the tour, but just related to Hidden Mickeys, and we will post that to our Disneyland Weekly YouTube channel, and it'll be public for everybody to see. It won't be something that's just limited to Patreons or anything like that. So look for those sometime in the future. I don't know when we're going to do it. Next week, we will have another episode with news and everything. The week after, we actually are replaying the tour of the parks as one whole continuous episode. And then the last week in October, we're going to have one more show. So, because I'm gone for that 1 week in October. So, and then the holidays are popping up. So I'm not sure if it'll happen before the end of this year, but it will happen at some point, and yes. I think you guys will like it. So So now we went to the next highest voted topic, which was, are the holiday overlays worth it?
Which, and I think this is a great time of the year to be discussing this anyway.
Well, because so we have some of the Halloween overlay already, and then we have some things that are coming up pretty soon for the regular holiday time. So why don't you kick it off, and I'm sure everybody knows what we're going to start with.
Well, so we're going to start, of course, with Halloween time, and we're going to start with my personal favorite for Halloween time and just for the holidays in general, of course, Haunted Mansion Holiday. So Haunted Mansion Holiday, I don't know if a lot of you guys know this, is actually you can only experience it in Disneyland, and you can also, if you want to, go across a couple of oceans and other continents. But you could go all the way over to Tokyo Disneyland, and you can experience it over there too. But as you guys know, the Haunted Mansion Holiday is based off of settings and characters from The Nightmare Before Christmas, which actually is, I think we have a big anniversary coming up for The Nightmare Before Christmas this weekend, so that's pretty exciting.
Yeah.
Haunted Mansion Holiday is actually relatively new. It's only been around since October of 2001 was the first time that Jack took over the mansion.
Well, the cool thing since then is each year since it opened, I mean, we've talked at length about the gingerbread house changes all the time.
Yes.
But they've actually, especially in its early years, they added a lot of features, because that first year they kind of didn't know if people were going to like it and they wanted to try something new. And my favorite part of the creation of Haunted Mansion Holiday is it was one of the first hits that Steve Davison worked on, which we all know Steve Davison. He was the guy who did the Spectaculars, and he's the guy that I posted videos to of him jumping around,
yes.
physically performing Remember Dreams Come True. So this was one of his first hits, so I enjoyed it.
So one of the interesting things that I had learned about that I did not know is that it wasn't all... They knew they wanted to do a holiday overlay for the Haunted Mansion, but it wasn't always going to be linked to The Nightmare Before Christmas. They actually first considered doing a retelling of Charles Dickinson's A Christmas Carol, but decided against it due to the attraction being set in New Orleans Square and just... It was just kind of, it didn't really quite make sense to bring Santa Claus, such a happy, jolly character, into a very kind of just creepy, eerie environment in the Haunted Mansion. So I think they did a really good job marrying The Nightmare Before Christmas to the Haunted Mansion, because I think those two things fit very well together. Plus, it's now an overlay for not just one holiday, but for two. So I think it was a very smart move, and obviously very, very popular attraction. In my opinion, I think it is definitely worth it to go experience the Haunted Mansion Holiday at least once. I know some people may not be the biggest fans. They like the classic better, but I personally think it's worth it.
Yeah, I think of the overlays we're going to talk about, I think this is the most detailed.
Yes.
And successfully executed on like tons of different levels. I think that the soundtrack is amazing. The voice acting is amazing. A funny thing about the voice acting, the narrator for Nightmare Before Christmas narrates your travel through the Haunted Mansion Holiday. Well, of course, you hear him most most in the stretching room. Mm-hmm. Now, I got so used to hearing that when I went back and watched Nightmare Before Christmas, the movie, the narrator's voice is different.
Yes.
And I actually like the Haunted Mansion Holidays voice better than I like the Nightmare Before Christmas narrator's voice. So
you would.
I do think it's worth it. However, I kind of wish that they would wait until closer to October to set it up. Because if you think about it, they do it in September. It launches like the first week in September. It goes all the way through January.
Yeah.
So you really have, and then the time that it's down and everything. So you really have a lot of time per year that it's not the normal version. And we actually had somebody in the chat earlier talk about this too, that they have not seen the regular version of Haunted Mansion because of how their scheduling works mm-hmm. to go to the parks in like years, which is unfortunate.
Yeah. And the only hard part with that is that the Haunted Mansion holiday goes with exactly the calendar for Halloween time through the holiday time at the resort. So unfortunately, since these seasonal times have been getting longer and longer, the overlays have also been on for a longer period of time. So that is kind of the downside of it, is that, and actually when the first time Vern and I went together was in 2015, and that was the first time that he had visited Disneyland, and his first experience with the Haunted Mansion was the holiday overlay. Right. So that is kind of a bummer if you're one of those people that doesn't get to visit as often. That maybe you don't get to experience the original, you get to experience the overlay instead. But still, just the amount of work that goes into this. I mean, you guys, this attraction is closed for weeks and weeks for them to get this all set up. They remove animatronics from the classic ride and replace it with new animatronics for the holiday overlay. It's just incredible. I think they do a really good job at having a good balance between the original as well as the Nightmare Before Christmas portion of it. So a lot of your favorites are still there. I know we had one supporter that was a little worried that they were going to be there and they had never seen the Hatbox Ghost in person, but don't worry, Hattie is still a part of the holiday overlay. Mm-hmm. But some other characters that, you know, like the Bride, for instance, she is not part of the overlay. They have a different character in that spot. Same thing with the Grave Digger. He is also not there. They have a larger than life size Jack Skellington in his spot, but still, I just think it's really, really well done.
So here's something I just thought about. Do you think the Haunted Mansion Holiday is a better version to take young kids on for the first time through the Haunted Mansion?
I think so. It's not. I don't think it's as scary.
Mm-hmm.
I totally agree.
The only thing I think that's a little scarier is the wreath, the man-eating wreath, because that's kind of scary. Yes. Mm-hmm. But like the stretching room, I think, is way less scary because it's not like a hanging body in the rafters. It's Jack Skellington's giant head.
Well, the music is just lighter, too. Yeah. It's a lighter, happier feeling music because it's a lot of the music from the movie. Mm-hmm. And actually, now that you say that, so the year that we went, 2015, is when we went with my cousin's children, a 4-year-old and an 8-year-old, and it was their first time ever experiencing Disneyland as well. So their first time in the mansion, and they really liked it. And I was a little worried that they'd be scared, but you're right. I never thought of that before. But yeah, having those, they're not really cartoon characters, but closer to a cartoon character, kind of intermixed with the eerie and the creepy things, kind of just like softens it a little.
But even like the graveyard covered in snow, anything covered in snow is just more approachable, I think. Mm-hmm. Now, James
presents all over the place.
Yeah. James just tapped me on the shoulder and said that if we remember right, in 2015, the first time he went to Disneyland, it was the Haunted Mansion holiday. So, James,
Disneyland the same year.
Yeah.
Apparently.
We went, and you've never been to Disneyland when it hasn't been Haunted Mansion Holiday.
Correct. I've only been there when it's Haunted Mansion Holiday.
So what did you think of Haunted Mansion Holiday?
I thought it was super cool. Like, growing up, my family would travel to Walt Disney World on occasion for the vacation, because that's what you do when you live in the Midwest, typically. And so it was kind of nice to see it as something so different. And I'm a fan of Nightmare Before Christmas, so that obviously helps out with the enjoyment factor. But I am super curious to see the original feeling behind it, especially the original stretching room.
All right, well, moving on. The next thing that's on our list here for Halloween is Space Mountain Ghost Galaxy. Now, Space Mountain Ghost Galaxy actually premiered in Hong Kong Disneyland in 2007, and then premiered at Disneyland in September of 2009 as part of the Halloween season of the parks. So this one, I actually have been on, I think I've only been on it like once or twice, And I think they've added some stuff since the last time I was there. So have you ever been on this, Teresa?
Yes, I have.
Okay, why don't you talk a little bit about it? Because you've actually experienced it and probably remember it more than I do.
So, yeah, for me, you know, this has the opposite effect for me. I think this one is terrifying for small children.
Yep.
Because you have this flaming skull ghost thing basically chasing you the entire time that you're on the roller coaster. So... I'm sure I've shared this story before, but even when you're in the queue, everything kind of is just a little askew and you know that something's not quite right. And basically this, I guess this spirit has kind of taken over the ride, I guess would be a good way of explaining it. But so I was actually, I think we may have, we'll have to share this photo again, but we have a ride photo or, you know, one of the photo from the end of the attraction that it's me sitting next to this poor little four-year-old girl who just has the most like terrified look on her face. And this is this same little girl absolutely adored Tower of Terror. Again, 4 years old, adored it and went on it multiple times, but was just scared beyond scared on that attraction. I remember we're zipping around it and I'm trying to point. I see where this ghost thing is kind of coming up, where the projections are, and I'm trying to point the complete opposite way to try and distract her from it because she was just terrified. But, you know, it is different. It is an interesting overlay. I, you know, for me, Haunted Mansion Holiday pluses the attraction for me. I think it adds to the attraction.
Sure.
For me, Ghost Galaxy, it doesn't. It doesn't do it for me. I also don't really like scary, creepy, like scary things and things that kind of pop out at you. And there's a couple of times where this ride, the projection kind of comes out of nowhere and is a little... kind of has that jumpy feeling. So for me, it doesn't plus the attraction.
My thought is, if you were going to put an overlay on anything in the park, that Space Mountain is not like anywhere in my top of my list at all to do an overlay.
I do think that the overlay that they did Hyperspace Mountain, I do think that that plus the ride. I do think that was a good choice, but because it made sense. Whereas this, it was just kind of this flaming ghost thing flying around through space. It didn't quite... makes sense to me. Whereas for the Star Wars overlay, it's like you're in a space battle.
Yeah. Yeah. And that can be more thrilling and it's not as scary for everybody, obviously. And, you know, Walt wants everybody to be able to enjoy as much as possible together. So, well, moving on, that's all we had for overlays for Halloween time at Disneyland. Let's hop across the Esplanade to probably one of the newest overlays.
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
I think it is the newest.
So what was interesting here was...
it was just last year.
Yeah. Well, what was interesting here is the Guardians of the Galaxy Mission Breakout opened in May of 2017. And just a few months later in August, they came out with a different version called Monsters After Dark. This is really kind of cool to me because they do Mission Breakout during the day... and then at night, it switches over to this. So, for instance, if they were to do this with Space Mountain, right, with Ghost Galaxy, this would be good because the smaller kids could go enjoy it during the day, and at night it would be scary. But they didn't do that for Space Mountain. But they did do it for this.
And, you know, with both of these attractions, it's not like Haunted Mansion Holiday, where there are physical things that they have to move in and out of the attraction to create the overlay. This is just... projections. So you're right, they could. That's a good point. Why don't they do that with Space Mountain? You could have it normal Space Mountain during the day and then have it Ghost Galaxy at night, or only maybe like one or two days, or I don't know, something like that.
And so this one's kind of cool, and again, it is one of those attractions that they could easily put in a different projection, and because of the ride system already has a lot of variations, they can just program in some different variations, and it works out okay. Now, you have not experienced Monsters After Dark, have you?
No, I have not.
No, so, but I've seen videos and stuff online, and I think it looks pretty cool. I like the idea. Again, I really like the idea that they switch it over, and the cast members' costumes and
stuff change. I was going to say, the fact that the cast members even change costumes is just so cool to me. And, you know, I've heard a lot of reviews. We have some listeners that are avid park fans and huge, huge fans of just Mission Breakout in general, that adore Mission Breakout, and they thought it was so much fun to go back later in the night and have a completely different experience on basic, you know, it's the same attraction, but it's, they said it felt so totally different and it was well worth it. So if you have the chance, I, even though Tag and I have not experienced this yet ourselves, we will next year though. I do think that this is another one that's worth it.
Yeah. Oh yeah, I guess that was the question: is what were a holiday overlays worth it? So I would say Ghost Galaxy not worth it, Mission Breakout worth it, mm-hmm. Haunted Mansion obviously worth it. Now we're moving over to Cars Land, where we have a couple slight theme adjustments, mm-hmm. let's say, and we've got the first one up is Mater's Junkyard Jamboree, which. I don't know. What do? They just decorate some stuff and then they put some different music?
Yep. The decorations are different and the music track that you listen to is different. So it's a very light change for the holiday. But I think, you know, I think it fits. And the only reason that it fits is because the entire Cars Land area is very well themed for the holidays, especially
even
Halloween.
Christmas, yeah.
And they just go all out with that entire land and it's just amazing. So to me, I think this works because the entire land is decked out in Halloween. If they didn't do all the decorating in the rest of the land, I don't think this would really make sense.
I agree. Yeah. It's not that it wouldn't make sense. It just, it would seem so like kind of dud like, you know, mm-hmm. but they kind of have to do this to match the rest of the land.
Exactly. Yeah.
So
especially because this is for those of you that have not experienced the Jamboree or the Jamboree, just regular, it is an outdoor attraction and it is visible. You know, the ride vehicles that you're on are visible from the rest of the land. And the rest of the land is visible when you're on the attraction. So the two have to, I feel, the two have to mirror each other and they have to be on the same page.
Yeah.
And just walking by this, you can hear the music playing too. Yeah. So if you're in an area that's very well themed to Halloween stuff and you're listening to, I don't know, country sounding normal Cars Land mm-hmm. music, that doesn't quite theme well, and it kind of takes you out of the spirit of the land, the Halloween spirit of the land.
I agree totally. Now so for this one, I would say because of the theming of the rest of the land, I say worth it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't think, you know, it's interesting because I don't really think the attraction itself is different. I don't think it's like if you close your eyes and had earplugs in, I don't think you'd know that you are on the holiday version of this attraction. I think it's exactly the same, but the theming around you has changed.
Yeah.
So I think that's worth it.
Yeah. So, continuing in Cars Land.
Kind of on that same page, we'll go over to Luigi's Honkin' Halloween. So again, another outdoor attraction, and you kind of, you know, you just have these little ride vehicles that you kind of get whipped around on. It's actually ridiculously fun. If you guys haven't gone on this, I thought for the longest time this was, you know, just a kid's ride and something that the kids enjoy doing. Oh no, I was definitely wrong. It is a lot of fun as an adult to go on this attraction.
Well, I have never ridden it myself, but I've seen
so fun.
I've seen videos, and the thing that I love about this is not only is it just kind of fun, right, because mm-hmm. you're riding on it, but the music is great.
Yes.
And so adding a holiday spice to it, I think is great. So again, same answer I had for Mater's Jamboree, which is I think it's worth it in combination with the whole land.
Mm-hmm. So again, with this one, it's the same exact attraction. They just have the Halloween theming. So really the biggest difference here besides decorations is the music that you're listening to and that the cousins are dancing to. So a little backstory on Luigi's ride is basically you're kind of like at a backyard party and it's all of his cousins are dancing, and so you do it's weird because not all of the car, it depends on what car you're sitting in, because you're having a different experience in whichever car you're in. Because when Vern and I were there, we just happened to be one of the cars that went into the middle of basically the circle and like twirled around and whirled around with this other car while the rest of the cars were on the outside edges just kind of swaying back and forth. So you're kind of like in the middle of a dance party and everybody has a different part. The other cool thing is even when I was in the line waiting for the attraction, I didn't see them do the same routine and the same dance while I was waiting to get on. So it's very different.
Repeatability is good.
Yes, very good. I think, again, like the Jamboree, this is worth it because the rest of the land is themed so well for the holiday.
Well, we are now exiting Halloween time and entering the holiday time. And the first attraction we're going to talk about is actually the first attraction at Disneyland that actually had a holiday overlay. Mm-hmm. And it was It's a Small World Holiday that started back in 1997. And so this one is kind of fun. If you don't like the, if you do not like the It's a Small World theme, you cannot escape it for It's a Small World Holiday. The way it works for that is, for It's a Small World Holiday, you have a mixture of Jingle Bells, also sung in a bunch of different languages, and the It's a Small World theme kind of together, which I actually really enjoy. Plus, I love Christmas lights, and the entire attraction is Christmas lights
just
everywhere.
Covered. The outside, the inside. I'm surprised the boats aren't 100% covered with lights. There are lights everywhere. Mm-hmm. It is amazing.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. They sing Jingle Bells and a bridge of Deck the Halls in addition to the main theme. So I really enjoy it. I think it's great because, you know, it takes something. It's just like Haunted Mansion Holiday. It takes the attraction and it changes it enough that it feels like a totally different attraction. So I would say worth it. What do you say?
This is not one that I have experienced myself. And, you know, really, It's a Small World is one of those attractions that I will experience every time that I am in the park. It's not necessarily one that I need to do multiple times when I'm in the park. It's not one of my favorites, but I do really want to experience the holiday edition just because Christmas is just everywhere, all over, every square inch of this attraction. I would love to see all of the lights.
The next one before, this is actually the only other holiday overlay thing that's actually in Disneyland Park, and that's Sleeping Beauty's Winter Castle, which isn't exactly an attraction overlay, but I thought it was an overlay. So I wanted to talk about it. This is beautiful. They have a few moments that I think just really add to this whole thing. First of all, it is bright.
It's gorgeous, too.
But it is bright.
It is so gorgeous, yes.
And so one of the coolest things for me, of course, you're in Southern California, and it doesn't snow in Southern California, but the castle's covered in snow. And you see that all day long. Now, at night, what's really cool is they actually have a lighting ceremony, which I think is super cool, because they have like a little story. Of course, it's Disney, right? So they have a whole story that goes along with it. And it kind of like twinkles down, like it's actually, you know, from the top spires, and it kind of twinkles down. And then they have this music that goes with it, and it gets lit up and everything. So, totally awesome. I think it looks beautiful. Again, it lights up. I mean, you could turn off Main Street, and you could probably still make your way down Main Street just fine, and how bright this is. But yeah.
The thing that's so amazing to me about the castle decorations and overlay is the amount of time it takes and how many cast members, their one and only job for the entire year is to make sure that this castle is going to look spectacular during Christmas time. They actually have a whole department that is dedicated to the Christmas or the, excuse me, the Christmas or holiday or snow overlay, whatever you want to call it, of Sleeping Beauty Castle. I watched a, it was actually a special that they did that was, you know, showing how they change the park into the holiday winter wonderland that we see every day. And it actually, you got to kind of go behind the scenes, and they showed you the warehouse that they house all of the decorations that go onto the castle. You got to talk to the cast members that that's what their job is. And they kind of went into detail as to all the behind the scenes stuff. Very, very cool. Never did I think that somebody like that there would be an entire department devoted to it, let alone that that's the only thing that they really do is focus on making sure that that looks perfect. It's just makes me appreciate it that much more.
Oh, definitely. You know, these people, they put so much time and effort into these things. And the fact that literally Halloween will be over at the end of this month, but literally on the 2nd of November.
Yeah.
They're working on next year's already, and that is just crazy to me.
The other thing that was really cool that I guess I didn't really know about is the fact that, so the snow that are that's on the spires of the castle, those are actually like big overlay cone. It's like a different roof that they basically put onto the spire. So not only do they have to make sure that that looks perfect, but they went and showed how they get these things on the castle and this huge, like, nerve-wracking process of putting these things on and not wrecking the actual castle while they're doing it or wrecking the overlay pieces that they're trying to get on the castle. It's just incredible.
I'm trying to see. I thought that they'd have maybe like something on the Wikia here about like how many lights or something. It's, you know what I mean?
Too many.
Yeah, I don't know. Okay, we can move on. So now, hopping across the Esplanade again, what do we hit this time?
So we're going to go back over, and we're just going to briefly touch, since we've already talked about them. But Luigi's gets turned into Joy to the World, and Mater's is turned into the Jingle Jamboree. So again, they do a really great job over in Cars Land theming the area to the Christmas holiday time theme. So of course, they need to do the same thing for Luigi and Mater's attractions. And I think, again, if the entire area wasn't themed as well as it was, these wouldn't quite make as much sense. So I think that this is a good overlay as well. And again, they change out the track, and so you're going to be dancing and jamboreeing to Christmas tracks instead.
Yeah, and something, I think they do this for Halloween too, and I forgot to mention it, but Cars Land, the transformation is so extreme that they actually add more telephone poles down just for the holiday decorations for Halloween and Christmas to like hang things off.
It's just crazy.
Yeah.
It's amazing. It's just so amazing.
So, yeah, I think worth it.
Yes.
Worth it. So next we have the Festival of the Holidays.
Yeah, and both of these next two things that we're going to talk about take place over in Disney California Adventure. This is a really cool thing that they've got going on, the Festival of Holidays. Basically, to me, it's kind of like a food festival, really. Mm-hmm. They've got all sorts of different delicious things that you can taste. Plus, there's all sorts of Christmas theme thing. I don't know. There's just a ton. a ton of different things to try. So if you love food, this is definitely something that you should go check out sometime.
Yeah. And, we love talking about food. I mean, food. Getting off topic and talking about food are like two things you can count on with our podcast. So they have marketplace booths there for stuff. So it's kind of like the Food and Wine Festival a little bit out in Epcot.
I feel like, yeah, it's like the mini version of the Food and Wine Festival.
Yeah. So, and it's a holiday time and it's all holiday themed. So the food and stuff from there just looks amazing.
So the Viva Navidad is basically a celebration of different holiday cultural traditions in the resort, which I think is just really cool. High energy celebration, wide array for anybody, which takes place over in Paradise Garden corner kind of the park. I'm trying to think. They've got a special parade that goes on for this. There's all sorts of street dance parties. Just basically very colorful, very high energy celebration for the holidays.
Yeah, yeah. I have not experienced this one either, but I love the fact that they add these kind of like culturally interesting, kind of cool things to be able to experience all this type of stuff. So I really enjoy it. Again, this isn't really an overlay. It's just kind of like a thing that they, I guess it kind of overlays that area. Mm-hmm. So I would say probably worth it.
I think it's worth it. Besides that, the party is led by the three caballeros, Donald Duck and his two amigos. Mm. They appear on a float that rolls into place in front of the center of the entrance to the plaza, to Paradise Gardens. Joining them, though, they have some mariachi and samba musicians. There's folk dancers. There's this 12-foot tall puppets of Santa and Mrs. Claus, plus Mickey and Minnie Mouse, of course, have to make an appearance at this cool party as well. So I think it just seems like it's really fun. It looks like there's all sorts of like confetti that they've got going in the air. Like, again, like I said, lots and lots of colors. It seems like there's here it says that there are 30 to 40 live performers in the street party itself. So just really cool.
Yeah, I agree. So is it worth it?
I would say definitely worth it. Plus, this is one of the times, when do you ever get to meet the three caballeros in person in the parks? I think that's really cool that they're getting new characters involved in this too.
Oh, yeah, totally. Yeah, because when it comes to, if you go out to Epcot, you see these characters, but not really in Disneyland. So, again, we've talked about this before with, like, the Halloween party. It's great when they actually have characters you don't usually see. So, anything that does that, always a plus. So, I think that wraps up our discussion this week, talking about the different holiday overlays and if they're worth it. So, I think overall, there's only one I think that we said wasn't worth it, and that was Ghost Galaxy, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, really though, overall, I think they're all worth it, especially if, to me, I think it's really cool that I can say that I've experienced all of the different versions of Space Mountain. Not very many people can say that. So, even though it wasn't my favorite, I still think, it is worth it to maybe experience it at least once in your Disneyland lifetime career. So
sure. Yeah. I mean, it's always worth it. I mean, we may not like it, but that doesn't mean you're not going to like it.
Exactly.
So.
Well, now it's time to return to James in Trivialand to get the answers to this week's trivia and see how terribly Tag and I both did this week.
Yeah.
Oh, you should feel confident this week. Yeah, you seem so confident with most of the answers.
Well, we'll find out, I guess.
All right, so the first question was, Disneyland has a unique way of keeping rodents out of the park. How do they do it?
We said feral cats.
Yes.
The feral cats is right. There's an estimated 200 cats that live somewhere in the park, but most of them are nocturnal, so that's why guests rarely see them.
Now, I've seen a cat in Disneyland. Have you, Teresa, seen a cat in Disneyland? I saw them over by, what's the restaurant there in New Orleans Square?
Blue Bayou?
No, it's the outdoor one.
Oh,
the French
Cafe
Quarter.
Orleans.
Cafe Orleans and the French Quarter. Yeah, so I've seen them there. Have you seen cats? No.
I have not, no.
Huh. All right.
Next question was, when former President Harry S. Truman visited the park, there was one attraction he apparently refused to ride. Which one?
And I said the teacups.
And I went with Mr. Toad's Wild Ride for no reason. Just because.
So would it help if I gave you the clue that former President Truman was a staunch Democrat and wouldn't want to be associated with a symbol of the Republican Party?
Oh, the elephants.
Dumbo?
He didn't want to go on
you
Dumbo.
Wouldn't ride Dumbo.
Oh, wow.
That's funny.
All right. For the longest time, cast members weren't allowed to grow facial hair. What year were they finally allowed to grow mustaches?
I'm definitely wrong. I think I said 99. I think it's earlier than that.
I said 2003?
You said 3. And mm-hmm. Teresa, you're actually closer. It was 2000.
Oh. Yeah, Miss Price is Right, $1.
All right. The last question was a bit of an urban legend, but apparently Michael Eisner made a cameo in one of the scenes for Soarin'. Which one?
And I said that it was the golf scene.
Yeah, and I went with the ending scene of Main Street.
Where I screamed loudly, Disneyland, and made everybody freak out.
Oh, that was a good moment. Tag, you're actually right. He was allegedly in the golf scene, and he is apparently the person that hit the golf ball.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So he's the jerk that hit us with the golf ball.
With the Mickey Mouse on it, yeah.
Oh, yeah, because that makes it better.
Of course. So this week was all trivia I found, and I'd love to include some trivia submitted by you listeners. So if you're interested in trying to help me stump Tag and Teresa every week.
Not very hard.
Send me some question ideas. My email is producer@disneylandweekly.com. Only I get to see that, and then we'll see what we can do to stump these two.
It hasn't been very hard, so.
So moving on, we did have some feedback that we wanted to share with you guys that we thought was appropriate, especially for this time of the year, to share before we got to the feedback episode, which will be coming out in a couple weeks for you guys. All right, so Dwayne emailed in, my family just got back from a Disneyland Halloween trip yesterday. I listened to your This Is Halloween podcast as I was running, and here are a couple of pictures to illustrate some of the things that you discussed. One, the Halloween fog and the lighting. Two, not sure if you ever mentioned the custodial artists, the guys that draw on the concrete with wet brooms. Pretty cool. I have to agree. Those guys are really awesome. Obviously, well, multi-talented cast members.
Yeah, the picture he sent us, Teresa, was a picture of Jack Skellington.
Yes, yes. And you know what? It's amazing that they spend... I mean, it's obviously a great deal of talent for them to be able to draw these. And they're huge. They're not small things. So if you guys ever just hang out... Usually, I feel like it happens mostly around the hub is every time that I've seen it. Mm-hmm. If you're just kind of hanging out, watch some of the cast members. A lot of times, they do it during like the period before... leading up to a parade.
Right.
And they're kind of entertaining the people sitting there waiting for the parade to start. But they're really cool. So they just basically take their broom, dip it in some water, and use it like a giant paintbrush, and then draw a character on the sidewalk. So, of course, it's Halloween time. So the one that he showed us was one of Jack. But the thing that's always so sad to me is that it's just water. So, of course, it like dries and evaporates.
Yeah.
Pretty quickly. So it's a lot of time and effort, and it just kind of...
Well, if you're going to do something as elaborate as Jack Skellington, you got to be kind of quick.
Yeah,
before
that's the other thing, too.
Evaporates.
So that's really cool. Thank you for pointing that out. I don't think we have mentioned that on the show.
Mm-mm.
And then also his last question was, any chance that you'll ever have shirts with this, which was the full Disneyland Weekly logo with the word Disneyland spelled out?
First of all, we will post images in the show notes showing all of the different stuff that Dwayne sent in. And then in regards to the shirts, so it's a copyright issue that the vendors that we've gone through won't allow us to use the word Disneyland. Anytime we've tried to have any merchandise that actually said Disneyland, they've like they'll ship the first order, but then they'll cancel like all the rest, and they take us out and they give us nasty things saying you can't use it. So we might look into the future where we could have them produced some other way, but not at this time. So let us know out there if you want Disneyland spelled out merchandise and not just DL Weekly podcast merchandise. And we might try to make it more of a priority to get some stuff done through a different manner where we can prove to them that like it's our original logo and we're not just trying to steal Disneyland's name. Well, thank you, Dwayne, for sending that in, and we always love seeing pictures. If you guys ever have comments about the episode or anything you'd like to share that you want all the listeners to see, send us in, and then some of them, like this one, we'll actually put in the show instead of just waiting for a feedback episode, because we thought this was good enough to share kind of with everybody. So, did you enjoy listening to this episode of Disneyland Weekly? You could support the show for as little as 25 cents an episode. If you want access to the supporter chat that we always talk about, it's only 75 cents an episode. Please consider joining supporters like Anthony G and head over to DisneylandWeekly.com/support.
We are always asking for your feedback through social media, but thought we'd add a couple other ways to communicate with us as well. If you would like to leave us a voicemail, give us a call at 657-345-4445. We might even play it on the show. We have also posted our P.O. box on the website over on the right side of the page. Please feel free to send us postcards, letters, or whatever. So I do need to give a special shout out. We did just have a listener that was in the park. Gosh, this last week, I mean, it's already been a week now, but he was so kind enough to send us like a goodie bag, and I just couldn't believe that he did this. So here I am sitting, recording this, wearing my brand new Sally ears. Mm-hmm. Tag earlier was wearing his brand new Hatbox Ghost ears. You guys, those are really awesome. If you haven't seen them in person, super cool. And he got us a bunch of other goodies that we'll share on the live show too. Yep. So thank you so much, Alex, for utilizing our P.O. box and sending us some really awesome goodies. We appreciate it.
Well, we'll be back next week with more Disneyland news and information.
So until then, go out and enjoy the parks.
Ladies and gentlemen, Disneyland has now ended its normal operating day. We hope you've enjoyed your visit to the Magic Kingdom and that you'll be back with us again soon.